All right, let's begin, or let's continue our discussion on where life begins. And our emphasis has been on the issue of the centrality, or the Word of God as the central point of everything that has to, that life has to do with. That is where life begins in every form. It is the Word of God. What I've been trying to do in this whole series is to emphasize to the people of God the importance of their quest. That is, we must have this deep quest for the Word of God. That thing is very important. And that's what I want to get into our hearts. If everybody will get that point, I will have succeeded in this series of teachings. All right, let's just for emphasis again, let's start again from the book of Mark chapter 4, the one we have been, the one that we started with. The book of Mark chapter 4, I'll read the verse 24. It said, take care what you listen to. This is the New American Standard. So by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you besides. And then we read that from the Amplified Bible. Quickly, let me go over it again in the Amplified Bible. The book of Mark chapter 4. That verse 24. It says, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. My emphasis is that line that says the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. One of the mistakes we make in life, of course, is that we spend our energy on that which does not satisfy. We don't know where our help is really from. Our help is in returning to God. He said, in returning and in rest, you will be saved. What does it mean to return to God? To turn to listen to his word, to turn to pay attention to what he has to say concerning your life. Again, let's emphasize it. God has a will. God has a word concerning your life in every situation. And the life that you will experience. Now, when we say life again, please don't forget what it means. Life means the order, or let me put it like this, the victory, the success, the glory that God wants to pour into your life. Are you getting my point? That's the meaning of the word life. Life is not just that you are alive. There are many people who are alive, but they are really dead. You understand my point? They are breathing, they are eating, they are walking around, but in truth, the spirit of death is controlling them. Are you getting my point? Now, life is when you come in tune with God. He said, he that has believed has passed out of death into life. Are you getting me? When things go wrong in life, those are the manifestations of death. That's what the Bible calls the agonies of death. Death itself is a spirit. Death is a spiritual force. And what you see in life are the manifestations of death. So my good examples are things like this. A young man loves a young woman, and he marries her, and he thinks that they both think that they will be happy all the days of their life. All right? But then something happens along the line, and the marriage breaks down. That is the agony of death. That is the force of death operating. Are you getting my point? You will see an economy. People are trying to build up businesses and all of that. Then the thing begins to collapse. Natural disasters set in. Things that men could not have planned concerning come in, and then it turns around their projections and makes those projections fail. That's what we call the agony of death. That's a manifestation of death in the economy. Are you getting my point? Sickness is a manifestation of death, the spirit of death. So life is what we want to talk about again. Life, the source of life, all right, is the word of God. That is, when God wants to send life into the earth, the way by which he communicates life is by his word. Now listen to that again. The way by which God communicates life is by his word. I'll say it one more time. The way by which God communicates life is by his word. Listen to me. It is not primarily by the laying on of hands. Do you follow my point? He sent his word, and that word healed them, and that word delivered them from their destructions. It's by his word. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 6, he said, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. He now said, the words that I have spoken. Please notice that. The flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. What he was saying is this. Let me say the whole thing, then I'll explain what he was saying. He said, the words that I have spoken, they have spirit, all right? And they are life. This is what Jesus was saying. That he made statements and people were wondering what he was talking about. You must eat my flesh, you must drink my blood and all of that. And they were getting confused over the letters of the thing that he said. He now said to them that the flesh, that is the letters, don't profit anything. Do you follow my point? He said it is the spirit that gives life. Remember about 3 or 4 episodes ago, I talked about a book that I read in which the pastor was teaching, and he was explaining how he taught principles to people. And by operating those principles, they were becoming very rich. It described a man, a minister, that came to their church, half literate. The man took those, he saved all the money he could, bought a lot of the tips that he had taught on financial prosperity, listened to them, practiced the things inside, and then the man prospered, became a multimillionaire in just a matter of a few years. And we know people, and even he said it, we think that it is those principles. And I explained to you that it's not the principles. Because the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. I explained when I was describing that there was a spirit God was trying to pass into that congregation through that man. And the way by which people tap that spirit is by giving attention to the words. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. What happens is that when you do that, God uses those words to communicate life into your system. So Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. That is, it's not the words that are spoken. It is what I am passing across into you while I'm speaking. He said, the spirit entered into me when he spake to me, King James English now, and set me on my feet. It is not the words, it's the spirit that brings forth life. So Jesus said, the words that I have spoken, they carry a spiritual substance that imparts life wherever they get to. So he said, the words I have spoken, they are spirits and they are life. What he meant is this. When I speak, it's not the letters. It is the spirit. And that's what I have noticed. Listen, in life, it is not about calculating. Let me tell you the truth. You don't have a choice as a believer. If you want to succeed in life, you don't have a choice but to be present where the word of God is coming forth. Do you get my point? It can be on TV, in a place like this, on your steps, but the word must be. It's not just reading. Reading is important, very important. It's also a transmission of the word. But most importantly is when you are hearing with the ears. Are you getting my point? It's very important. It's not the letter. I've heard people say that those things you are preaching, I don't need them now. You are out of your mind if you make that kind of statement. Because it is a spirit a man is transmitting. It is not principles of that shall put a foot in front and put a second one behind it. Even if I said so, do you get my point? That's not the main thing. Are you getting my point? I remember those days when we go to church. I remember those days. All kinds of people will come to come and preach. Then I used to go to Winners Chapel to go and tap an anointing from Bishop David Oyedepo. And I told you before, listen, you don't tap anointing from people by wishing for it. You don't tap anointing from people by giving an offering to them. Are you getting my point? It's good to give an offering to a man who blesses you. But that's not how you tap the anointing. The way by which you tap the anointing is to give attention to what he has said. Are you getting my point? People can lay hands, lay legs, lay body on you. This doesn't work like giving attention to the words that they are speaking. Go and listen to the 2 messages I preached on what I call getting the spirits of men. I remember then when we go to church. I still remember very well. Because of maybe I'm sitting somewhere, I look around, I don't see Bishop anywhere. Well, I came to listen to him. He's not around. No problem. We'll get blessed. And people are saying this leading prayer. I still remember very well. As he will, finally he will show up. Because you know, the way it is in Winners, there's no fanfare that let's welcome to the microphone, nothing. He just picks his mic and walks up there. So if you are sitting where you really can't see the platform very well, the first indication you will have that he's around is when you hear his voice. I just hear, hallelujah. I still remember very well. Instantly, I get blessed. All I just hear is, hallelujah. I remember. No, I'm not. It's not even just, okay, it's because you're happy. I know I'm happy. But the point is that the man transmits a spirit once he starts talking. It is not the deep exegesis of the scriptures we are talking about. That is why, oh my God, the best when a man blesses you the most, it's not when he's breaking down scripture. Sometimes just telling stories. Puts a hand in the pocket and he's telling stories. It is not the letters. The letter profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. It is the spirit. It is what he's passing across as he's talking. So when we are going for the word of God, it is not about learning letters. It is about just being present so that the spirit can enter. Christians love to struggle. We carry our struggles even into trying to obey God. I said something many years ago. Over the years, I reasoned about it and now understood even more. I said, God has never said anybody should obey his instructions. That's not the primary thing he's going for. What he has ever said is that they should believe them. If you believe the word of God, the word acts upon you, and obedience is a consequence of faith. You hear what I said? When you believe God's word, that word acts upon you. And that word is a consequence, the obedience is a consequence of faith in that word. So he said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you'll be careful to meditate. He said, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, this is what happens, so that you will be careful to do all that is written therein. When the man has meditated, the word acts upon him, suddenly the care to do what is written inside is given to him. So, look, the ways of God are easy. He just said, meditate, believe those words. If you do, all right, obedience is part of you. I explained something to us before. Eve, there's a spiritual principle there. Go and read the story of Eve and Satan. Eve could not disobey God until Satan made her doubt what God said. You hear what I said? It was impossible for Eve to disobey the word of God until doubt was created in her concerning the consequence. I said to you before that that's talking about that story of Eve. That what happened was the fruit became beautiful when words were spoken to her. Alright? Now I'm adding a second side to it, which we've talked before here anyway. That it was not possible to disobey God until doubt in God's word was created in her. You see, Satan knows how to get people. He's very crafty. He knows the principles. He didn't come to Eve. Eat. Eve, let me tempt you. Eat now. Just try. Eat small. You want to make me feel bad? Eat now. Let me just push you small. Eat. This, if he does that for 1 million years, Eve would not have eaten anything. He didn't do that. The first thing he did was to speak. Madam, good afternoon. Are you busy? Can you spare 2 minutes? Who are you? No, I mean no harm. Let me just chat with you for a while. Has God really said that you should not touch anything that is going on here? Eat of all the fruit that is inside? He said, no, actually he didn't say that. He knew what he did not say. He said he didn't say that. He just said, this is the one we must not eat. He said, we should not even touch it. The day we touch it, we will die. He said, that's where I was going. You will not die. He said, are you serious? You won't die. Why should you die? Think about it. Does it look poisonous? The moment she doubted, thou shalt surely die, she ate. Doubt is the foundation of disobedience. Just like faith is the origin of obedience. So God doesn't tell people, obey. He says, believe. If you believe, obedience will flow. Let me say to you again, that's what grace is. In the same manner, Christians don't struggle. When we finish this series, maybe in another 2 weeks or so, I will begin the series on the doctrine of the appointed time. Christians don't struggle to succeed in life. Listen to me. A true believer in Christ Jesus, let's say a married woman, does not struggle to conceive. What happens for us Christians is that the word becomes flesh. The degree of failure we will experience in life is directly tied to the amount of the word we are not allowing to become flesh. It is not because you are lazy or you don't know people. All those stories are just the physical explanations to explain why somebody is not doing well, because he's not allowing the word become flesh. Listen, this is everything I've been explaining for this. Today is the sixth day on it. is to help us get this point that if you labor correctly, we did a series here then, a few years ago. I was talking about the real faith. One of the days I talked about how to labor correctly. That's what we are back to. We don't labor correctly as Christians. We labor in everything that's, like I said on the radio, I talked about the foundations and pillars of success. We build pillars without foundation. All the foundations of success are spiritual. Every single one. The pillars are those things like diligence. Go to work early. Know how to do accounting. Even me, I teach all of those things. But the real foundation is spiritual. People buy books on building pillars. They build the pillars on no foundation. And the problem is that life is full of adversity. God is not going to remove adversity from life because of you. He doesn't. Why should he bother? He has enough strength ready for your soul to use to withstand adversity. So he won't take away the adversity. He said, but if you faint in the day of adversity, it's because your strength is small. Life is about trouble. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God still hovered on top of that. Then he began to speak to put order into it. What am I trying to say? The thing that God is trying to do in your life is not to remove the adversities, but to allow you to have the strength to put order into your own life. So what am I saying there? When a man does not have the correct foundation, when adversity comes, no matter how strong his pillars are, he gets swept away. Because only by God's word does he dig a strong foundation for himself. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what we have been discussing. And that's where we are till now. Let's read two scriptures. I review some things I said before. Then I continue from there. I want to develop it further. Let me just take two new scriptures. We'll read one that we read last time. And then we'll take two new ones. Quickly, let's rush to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. We read this one also as our foundation for prayer last Tuesday. The book of Joshua chapter 14. The story is that Caleb came to make a demand of Joshua. Of Joshua. Concerning the promise that Moses gave to him. In verse 6 he said, let me just start from verse 7. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spoil the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. He said in verse 8, he said, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord fully. That's verse 8. Then if you go down, he now said to Joshua again, he said, 45 years afterwards, 11, he says, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Then he went ahead. Please, verse 13. He said, Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. That's what I'm looking for again. That he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. And in verse 15, it tells us, now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man amongst the giants, the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. That is, when a man follows God fully, he gives him what looks impossible in the eyes of men. Are you getting my point? That is, the strength of God comes to his side and makes things that everybody would have said is impossible, makes those things possible for that man. You are getting what I'm going to explain there. All right, we'll discuss this. Now, let me go on from the main thing we're trying to say. What does it mean to follow God fully? Now, before I review that quickly, let's read the two scriptures I have for starting today, and then I'll just go ahead and do my teaching. First, let's read from the book of Proverbs chapter 8. And then I'll read from Habakkuk chapter 2. Let me just quickly read that, Proverbs chapter 8, then I'll quickly refer to the one in Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, I'll just jump down because my time is already running. So where, to the verse, I wanted to read a long portion, but if you read from the earlier parts of Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom was speaking, talking about the importance, all right, of wisdom. Verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and all of that. Talk about the fact that by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. He talked about the fact that he said that I have wealth with me. If you read verse 19, he said, 18 says, riches and honor with me and all of that. And then if you now, it just continues like that. Explain how the Lord even used me, all right, for creation. He now said in verse 32, saying, now, having heard all of this, O sons, now therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways. He said, heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, this is where I'm going, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. He who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. He who sins against me injures himself. That is, I'll explain what that means in a moment. All those who hate me love death. What does it mean by he who sins against me? It's easy to understand. If you look at the fact that wisdom said, this is how you sons are supposed to relate with me. Now that I have explained the importance of wisdom in your life. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways. Listen to me, O sons. Heed instruction and be wise. And do not neglect it. Verse 34 is what I'm trying to get to in all of this. Blessed is the man who listens to me. How does he do it? Watching daily at my gates. Waiting at my doorposts. Now, any man who doesn't do this is sinning against me and therefore is injuring himself. And he's demonstrating that he hates me. Therefore, he's demonstrating his love for death. Let me explain something to you here. Anybody, you know, I told you before, we were on radio for a very long time in Enugu. Then what happened, you know, the political issues, EFCs and all of that happened to the radio station. And we were off air for months because of that. Now, I get to talk to people. You know, I've been telling you this again and again. And they will tell me, and this is in Enugu, sir, we used to enjoy you on air, and you used to bless us. I say, you are in this Enugu, and you are telling me that. So they are telling me this, and we are in this same Enugu. What happens to most people is that, I said before, I was quoting Bishop Oyedepo, he said, your sense of value determines the flow of virtue towards you. I said to you also, that you can deceive yourself. People deceive themselves. A man can say, oh, I really love the Lord. You know, I was sharing something with my wife today. Something led to it. You know, I told her that, she has a character. Everybody has a personality type. My wife has a... Can I use this expression? Don't let me use the one I wanted to use. But let me use it anyway. She has a restless personality type. Nah, it doesn't exist. I'm trying to describe something. You know, there are people who can sit in one spot from morning till night. That's me. I'm like that. All right? My wife is the exact opposite. She doesn't understand why should you sit in one spot when the whole world is there, all right, to be discovered. I used to tell her that if you didn't marry me, that you didn't marry on time, by now she'll have been to at least 50 countries in this world. That's just the kind of person that she is. Now, so something happened today. We're just talking. I said, laughing at her. I said, you know why God will bless you? She said, what? Why? I said, I'm so sure that you'll be blessed of God. In fact, you are blessed already. Let me add more words to it. That greater things than you ever imagined, you will experience in life. Do you understand? And she wanted to know why. I said, because despite the fact that you love to move, you know, see things, very active, live a very active lifestyle, and you believed that this black guy is the exact opposite, yet because you feel that this is how I will get to know the Lord better and do the will of God, you married him. I said, you were willing to sacrifice what you would have enjoyed for the risk, do you understand, of just living a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and preachment. You know what I'm saying? Because they're going to marry a preacher. I said, therefore, God shall highly exalt you. And I began to explain something to her. I said, listen, anybody can shout, I love the Lord. This is where I'm going to. Because you know, that's how I preach, all right? Start teaching her from there. I said, no, God doesn't understand I love the Lord until you are ready to sacrifice for the Lord. Do you get what I'm going to say? I don't mean that when I promise you give ₦1 million now, you have 17 million before 12 noon tomorrow. That is greed that's still working in your soul. That's not sacrifice. That's an investment. Any smart person will go for it. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about sacrifice. So, get what I'm saying? That blessing, that before God could swear to bless Abraham, what God did was to put Abraham in a tight place. And he made Abraham make a decision because of his love for the Lord. Then God began to swear to bless him. I give an illustration. I said, listen, that many years ago, I served in the barracks. I used to give some Bible lessons in one Anglican church that was there to some women. So I remember this woman, one day, I was preaching the way I talk now and all of that. She said there was a man who used to come and teach them. And the man, when he's preaching, he will say that, look at their permed hair, that I wish God would just send fire from heaven to burn the hair right now. And that the man will be telling them it's wrong for them to use makeup and all of that. Now listen to what I'm saying. No? And I said that, no, that's not what Christianity is all about. She said she has said it too, that if that's what this thing takes, then she's not going to come back. I said, madam, no, you're on your own in that one. I said, I agree that that's not what Christianity is about. But listen to me. If God were to demand that, then you have to give it to him. I don't know what I heard I said. I said, if God were to demand that, you will give it to him. You can't tell God that, if only you had said I shouldn't pay my hair, I won't come back here again. God will say, okay, shave the head now. Then I told my wife about that thing. I said, a lot of people, God sent them into deeper life first as a test of whether they are ready to give things up for him. God knows that whether you make up or you don't make up is not what the will of God is. But he says, since you love makeup so much, I shall tempt you with membership in deeper life. If you refuse to go, you will die and go to hell. You know what I'm saying? Not, now listen, not because it is important to him, but because you are daring him. I said, when you obey it for 5 years, they cannot say, my daughter, my son, come. That is not what the real work of God is. But at least I have seen that if that is what it was, you would have agreed to do it. Now come out and let me show you something else. Listen, what am I saying? We can all say that we love the Lord. Oh, did I see the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to hug him and kiss him. Better hug all the men and women you can kiss on this earth now. You can't hug him and kiss him. Do you get my point? Before his presence, he will fall. So forget all this hugging and kissing thing. How many people have you seen in the Bible that I saw the Lord? Oh, I saw the glory of God. I just approached and gave him a peck. You see how before? I said, Baba God, now you be that. Now you be cool. Come on. Now lie. As soon as they saw what happened, they fell. John saw ordinary angel. Angel, he began to worship. The angel said, my friend, get up. You not get eye. He said, oh, now you are sorry. The amount of glory. you are getting what I'm saying? So it's not about hugging the Lord and kissing him. It is about what we are ready to sacrifice for the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. So people tell me that. Now, get what I'm saying. Let me not leave that in. He said, blessed, he said, are those. What do they do? Chapter 8. Where? He said, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. That's what I'm talking about. He said, waiting at my doorpost. Now, this is where I was going. People will say that, sir, we don't hear you again at home. And then we're going to say, So except I come to your home free of charge at certain times of the week, you can't make the effort. You know I stay here and I teach twice every week. Listen, no matter how much you claim to believe that word, you actually don't. You are deceived. Because if indeed it was that important to you, you can't tell me that you won't make the sacrifice. Listen, I've explained this before. So when you say you have faith, you can deceive yourself that I'm a man of faith. It is what you do when God makes demands. Now let's not sit down when I've talked that one before. Let me see on the matter of wisdom. So he said, this is how you know a man who really is waiting for me to do something for him. He's waiting. He waits daily at my doorposts. He's always going out fishing for that knowledge. If they don't give it to him, he will look for it by himself. If the broadcast does not come into his house free of charge, he will go to where he has to pay to hear it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is that causes virtue to be released to him. Because of time, let's not read it. If you go and read Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse 2, say, I will watch. Are you getting my point? I will wait to hear what God will say to me. That's what I'm talking about. You know, last time, let me quickly add that one to it so that I can retie the two together and summarize the point in that area today. I said that when we're looking at what you call the Word of God, I pulled out four different things from inside it using words that I picked from Psalm 119. I said there are precepts. And what are precepts? They are God's principles. The way by which he does things. Are you getting my point? There are God's commandments. Those are express directions concerning life. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. There are things that are so expressly commanded. Then I said, apart from that, there are testimonies. And testimonies, what are they? Those are things that are right for me to do. They are personal, all right? You can find, let me put a word, geographical testimony. I'm just adding that one to it now. You see an American do something, it's okay. You come to Nigeria, do it, God slaps you. Twice, for that matter. But most importantly, there are things that are personal. And God normally gives that one. You know, I was watching our broadcast on Omega Channel this morning. And I was hearing myself say things again. There's a preacher. If you tell me that I need time to do the things I'm supposed to do, there are little testimonies you observe. Bishop Oyedepo will teach us those days that stop visiting. It's not necessary. That they say pastors must do visitation. They say it's not the job of a pastor. Send the deacons. Miles Monroe will say that don't waste time. Redeem the time. Those are personal testimonies. And he said, the righteousness of thy testimonies we read on Tuesday, they are everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. That is, if I discover God's specific instruction for my life, I understand that thing, then life is given to me. That's why I said, the righteousness of thy testimonies, not commandments, not precepts, testimonies. There are people who are having problems, maybe at home with their marriage or their business. There's one word that God is giving them, one word about their own life. He will tell a man, this is how you relate with your wife. It won't apply to everybody else, but if you do this, you will prosper. The problem we have sometimes that builds denominations is because people make laws out of testimonies. Then I said, of course, last of all, there is what David called the Word of God, or more importantly for us to understand now, the promises of God, upon which hope is hinged. I said Christians love to follow by promises. They like to come to church and hear the blessing. I said, but those things don't come into your life except you have followed the precepts, the commandments, and the testimonies. Very important. Now, one thing I want to emphasize from there is this. If you read that my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explain, in fact, the whole book I told you before was written. In fact, there's a book I was working on. I've not finished that one till today. How Christians Get Results. I've not finished it since. It's quite big, also, it's there. There was a book I was working on. One day, I just asked a simple question. Why did the widow of Zarephath believe Elijah? And of course, in an instant, the Holy Spirit gave me the answer. And I dropped the one I was working on, opened the file, and finished that book in less than a month. Great Faith Can Be Yours. I started writing to get a point across to people that there was a reason why a stranger showed up suddenly. Are you getting my point? And said, give your last meal. And the woman believed it. I'm not going to teach all of that in details now. But what I just want to bring out from there is a number of things. Number one, it was not the first time she was given to people. That is why, let nobody deceive you. If you're a career stingy man, you can't give an offering and prosper. It doesn't work. You must be a habitual giver. I explained that Elijah didn't show up in that woman's doorstep by accident. I said Elijah was sent directly to her house. That the question is that how come that happened? Before we start pretending as if all God needs to prosper is a single offering out of your hands. Sorry, that is not true. My emphasis actually is that you see, there's a lifestyle that preceded the day that Elijah met her. You get the point? Before you can hold on to God's word without doubting, that's what I was saying. I talked about the spirit of faith. That God pours a spirit of faith into you when he knows that you need that extra dose to face that adversity. In the same manner, before you can hold on to God's word, the promise of God, and not doubt, it must be because you have been following the precepts. Do you get my point? The testimonies and the commandments as a lifestyle. It must be. Then God enables you by himself to hold on to the word and not doubt. To hold on to his promises. My emphasis in these teachings is here. What do I do waiting at the doorposts? It's simple. I am waiting each time to learn something new. When I say new, I'm not talking about new revelation. That means something I don't understand yet. He said, that which I see not, teach thou me. Are you getting my point? If you've been coming here for some time, or you are personally related to me, you know for a long time I've been crying that God, the most, I mean, come on, somebody is teaching. Because just to drop that one in, I discovered by experience and from the word of God, that it's not everybody that's your teacher. And don't pretend, not everybody. As much as I try to listen to everybody, I have realized I don't connect with everybody. There are two or three names, big American preachers I could mention to you, but I don't want to mention them. People that I have even quoted. And I agree with everything they say, at least essentially, you know, as much as I can agree with another preacher. But I don't listen to them. Why? They just don't connect with me. If you want their book, I'll buy for you as a present, but I never buy for myself. Because I've bought several, they don't connect with me. I read the scriptures and I discovered that you see a word again and again. He said, I did not listen to the instructions of my teacher. That this is not everybody that's your teacher. It is important you identify. I mean, it's not a big process. You just know that there are people who they are talking, you don't know what they are saying. You listen and listen and listen, you don't know what they are saying. No, people are getting excited. Woo! Ha ha! Woo! Wow! Did you hear that? Oh my God! Oh my God! Like, what? So you as a nice Christian, you say, amen, 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 amen. But you're wondering, what are they talking about? That I have learned. And I've learned to respect it. And these are people, they are teaching sound doctrine. Now, I just digress into that. But the point I'm trying to make here is this. For a long time, I kept on telling myself. I said, what? Something is going on. There's a word somewhere that I must hear. There is a teacher that God has sent me that I have not connected with. And listen, in prayer, I kept on searching. There are times I just start browsing on the internet, looking for, just click. There's one of my friends told me about one Korean preacher. I logged onto his website, listened to him for a while. Just listening out at his doorposts. That's what I'm trying to explain. Listen, I said to us before that many years ago, it was considered a sin for Christians to read novels, at least amongst my circles. Yes, we did. Is that true? It's one of the things I call testimonies. Are you getting what I'm saying? But there's a reason for it. I told my wife, there are many movies that I want to watch. Nice, interesting movies. I have them plenty. I said, I have not, she's a witness. For weeks and weeks, I have not been able to sit down to watch one. I remember them. In fact, I believe in exercising, getting up early, running up and down, going to the gym to carry weights. I do that. Except sometimes you wake up. I look at the 5 books that arrived recently. I look at my jogging shoes. Look at the road as I come. Let me just read 2 chapters first. By the time I'm reading the 2 chapters, it's daybreak. It's already daylight. I'm bringing out an issue here. I kept on going. I said, look, we should watch this film. So I was telling her yesterday night. I said, but first, we'll read some more first. Because I know, listen to me, let me say this again. until, how do I say this? Okay, let me say this. You're on a particular level now. Amen? Amen. You're on a particular level now. Financially, spiritually, you know, materially. In fact, I would do that spiritually because there's a reason why it's not spiritual, I want to say. In your marriage, your relationship, that's what I mean. A married person. In everything. And that level is a reflection, that's where I was going, of the spiritual level you are in right now. I think I'm a happily married man. But I don't even come close to scoring myself 100%. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, I know. It's not possible now. It is not possible. I'm not talking about by humility. I'm just remembering. Two nights ago, what thing happened? The other morning, what thing happened? That's not pure joy and happiness. That is, there's another level to conquer. Now, this is where I'm going. You can't conquer and say you're the vex. You know, that kind of, how can a man just be happy all the time like that? And me, I'm not happy. She has come. Pastor Frank said, he and his wife are very happy. They are happy. Everybody knows they love each other. You and me are always quarreling. From now on, no more quarrel. No more quarrel. Say, yes, no more quarrel. Kiss me, baby. No more quarrels. The devil say, I did wait. I come to Oga Obasanjo, and they laugh. He said, you think it is by determination not to quarrel? Wait. He said, we won't quarrel again. They will never quarrel again. In fact, no more quarrel. Sing after me. He said, why should I sing? Now I've heard you. I said, no more quarrel. That you started again. No, this is the kind of thing that causes the quarrels. Now you see, you will have finished another round before you're like, oh, that was quarrel. But the believer, no, it's not like that. Until a new word enters your heart, you can't stop that quarrel. It's not by strength. I read people keep on thinking, have you gone for counseling? That is, I'm not talking about Christians, I mean the world. If you go for help, you go for counseling somebody, you see marriages going for counseling, and of course, with you know, the marriage, they've been counseling and counseling and counseling, and they are still breaking down as fast as they ever were breaking down and worse. Why? It's not by counseling. Like Billy Akoni said, the word of God is not advice. It's power. If it enters, it kills the quarrel without you realizing the quarrel is gone. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why if you see a Christian that's having problems, pray for them. That is good. But start, this is my best gift. Start giving them books and see this. And like I say, I'll give you one or two. That should first. After that, I collect my money. Not because I need the money, but because you have to place value on it. When they keep dashing you like that, you won't read it. This is what I want to say. It's not nice, eh? But I will say it. You see a believer, maybe a married man, a married woman, always quarreling. And you just call the woman. If you're a woman or the man, if that's your friend. Do you think what you guys are doing is good? And they say no. I say, okay, good. Follow me to where I hear the teaching of the word. If he keeps on saying no, forget him. He doesn't want to be happy. It's not a nice thing I said, though, but I will say it anyway. Because you can't advise. It's not. Look, I'm talking about Christianity here. It's not by sound advice. It's by the instruction. Because like I said at the beginning, it is the entrance of the word. The flesh profits nothing. All this talk I'm talking, it's emptiness. That's why you can never be blessed. Listen to T.B. Joshua. It's not possible. Because no matter the amount of what he claims to be preaching, he's lying. The words are accurate. He read it from a Kenneth Hagin book. He's not a believer. So there's no spirit passing through him into you. If you think I'm lying, all right, tune the TV next time. It's always on. It's dry and empty. It's palpable. There's nothing coming forth from it. But you see preachers that don't know book. They don't know anything. They just say, ha, hallelujah. When the Lord begins to bless you. The English is wrong. But they are first. Because the spirit is passing through. That's what I'm talking about. Let me not leave my emphasis for today. It's the issue of watching daily at my posts, watching daily at my posts. Listen, there is a word that God has packaged. And listen, good things are not found by the wayside. You dig for them. Are you getting my point? You dig for them. Let me get practical. That's why, as a Christian, I remember those days, just to give my life as a testimony, I will walk down to Edisil and Ify Music in Lagos. It's books I went to buy. Forget the music part of it. These books they were selling. I look, tap my pocket. Buy books with every dime I have, having calculated that the trekking distance back to my house is not too bad. Listen, every Christian... Now, listen, buying a book for me now is no longer... I don't know the book you want to sell that my car can buy. I don't know where I get my point. If I can buy a car, I can buy any book. If I can buy a tire for my car, I can buy any book. Which book you want to sell? Unless I don't really want to read it. If I really think there's something inside, if you know the cost of one of my tires, you go run. Say, Pastor, you should say you did normal so. That day I said, one guy helped me get, one was faulty, a Tokumba one. He said, 30,000 at Tokumba, brand new, 75K. If I can drive that car, there's no book I can't read. There's no book I can't read, I can't buy. Are you getting my point? I don't know any book they sell for 70,000 naira. Christian book. Now, why am I saying so? But there was a time that my wife will tell you once, we were not married then, she was in Benin, I was in Lagos. I was broke, busted, and disgusted, like they say. Yet, I took a stroll in my broken state. I always go to the bookshops. So, as I was strolling around, I saw Heritage of Great Evangelical Teachings. Oh. I saw another one. This is a history book, the complete works of Josephus. Both combined was almost 5,000 naira. I was broke. I ran back to work. I went to look for one of my friends. So, but like I said, you get some extra coins where they roll. You will lend this for about 5K. I was hungry the day before, I didn't borrow money. When I saw the book, I said, look, I will pay back. Amen. In Jesus' name, I will pay back. Now, why I said what I said before now is that I have passed my test. Amen. No. God can't test me. Will you buy this book or you won't buy the book? Unless he has not persuaded me concerning the value. As for buying it, no, it's not an issue now. No. But there was a time that it was an issue. I remember once, my friends and I, we used to go out. My friend John and I would go to those places. And with a little money in our pocket, we'll be pricing book. They say this one is an American book, brand new, everything. They say it's 200 naira. Now, 200 naira was fat box that time, all right? And shortly before I finished service, my allowance was 700 naira a month. All right, this was the middle after my service, so you understand what I'm talking about. So me and him would look at each other and say, these ones that are like 13 naira, these local print ones, this one printed in Aba and Benin, that now 19, it's what that they inside, joy, now what they inside. So we'll deceive ourselves by all they were good, believe me. I'm talking about John G. Lake, Alexander Dawi, and stuff like that. We'll buy them 40 naira, 30 naira. So, but give that 200 naira, Joe. We'll give that 200 naira, collect like 4 or 5 books. We'll be happy. Then one day, I think now I look back, now I must have been the Holy Spirit. Say, Banky, listen. That the thing that's inside that 200 naira book, you know, it's not inside this one. It is not as if that one is more than this one, but the truth inside there may not be inside here. So better go back and go and buy that one. Then I say, hey, it's true. That day I remember I didn't have money. I went to my cousin and said, auntie, I bet if you lend this Bobo that kind, 300 naira. I negotiated, explained. And instead of lending me the money, she dashed it to me. I didn't know then, no. She just gave me the money. I ran to the bookshop and started buying the books. That's how come I have, I think, one of my Kenehagen books till today. Forgotten which one precisely. Now, that was the day I finally bought it. Now, buying Kenehagen book for me now is more like pocket change. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, they don't cost more than what my wife used to buy a bowl of ice cream for the children to eat at a go. Yes, it's true. It's levels. Hallelujah. Amen. The time has passed when I struggled. But there was a time, that's what I'm emphasizing, that I struggled over it. There was. So there was a time What I'm using that one to illustrate for us is the kind of spirit God expects us to have when it comes to digging for these things. It amazes me till today when you talk to preachers, Christians, and I'll be talking, you know, today, in today's day, I will talk to a preacher. Have you read God's Generals by Robert Liardon?
Say, yes, I heard of that book. Eh? There's a book like that.
That is in my mind. Believe me. So that in case some people are listening to this, if you're a preacher, there are books you must read. I believe in visions by... Now, these books I want to recommend are all Ken Hagin books. Plus that Robert Liardon. If you're not a preacher, well, you should read them. But if you're a preacher, there are books you must read in this generation. He gave gifts unto men by Kenneth Hagin. You must read it. Plans, purposes, and pursuits by Kenneth Hagin. You must read it. Following the plan of God for your life by Kenneth Hagin. You must read it. I believe in visions by Kenneth Hagin. You must read it. If you read these books, you will live long as a preacher. I know what I'm saying. They pour into you the spirit of following. Look, listen. There are no methods for following God's will. If you drink the spirit of following, you will follow. What you need to do is to drink the spirit of men that followed. You will see where they made errors. Their counsels that people give me, I can't take them because Kenneth Hagin said, don't. There are counsels people want to give you, or behaviors people behave towards you. I can't receive them because John G. Lake said, don't. A friend of mine came the other day, was coming from UK. There's a book I've been looking for. John Alexander Dowie, that's the name of the book by Gordon Lindsay. The Story of the Man by Gordon Lindsay. This book has been out of print since the 70s. So, I tried to look for it. Where I found it in America, they were selling it for $200. If it was brand new, it would be $15. But because it's an archival, you know what I mean? A collector's item. $250, yes. I looked at it, $250. I said, okay. And they looked. Then one day, my mind just went there. I decided to check in Amazon UK. Guess what? I saw it for £10. Who? Old one, of course. This book's been out of print in the 70s. Immediately, I called my friend in the UK. Pastor Man, he's been here. Some of you may know him. Uchegboko. I said, Pastor, I called him Pastor Man. I said, Pastor Man, please, look at the book. I sent a link to his box, called him. I said, please, buy this book. So he called me that he has bought it, but he's not sure it will be delivered before he comes. He was supposed to come the following week. When he arrived in Enugu, as I went to, I think at the airport or somewhere, when I met him, or he came to my office, he opened his bag and produced the book. Oh, God. I danced. The man was looking like, this book, he said, actually, he read it on the way, I think on the plane when he was coming, and he said, it's a very good book. When he saw the rejoicing of my soul, of course, he bought it as a gift for me. The £10, no. Banky, this is my gift I brought for you. I didn't bring you a shirt. Didn't bring you a trouser. I brought you a book. I read the book many years ago. That's when I fell in love with it. And that book taught me what never to do as a preacher. So that a greater affliction than the one you cured people of won't come upon you. You read the story of John Alexander Dowie. When you see how he fell from the height that the Lord placed him. Gordon Lindsay, being a man of spiritual intelligence, will analyze it for you. What he's telling you in effect, oh boy, don't go this way. A friend of mine said something once. He said, we learned a lot from our elders. We learned what to do, and very importantly, we learned what not to do in ministry. So I don't understand when somebody says he's a preacher, he plans to succeed in ministry. You've not eaten all these materials. You can't, oh God, you You can't pray your way into it. You can only pray your way into God sending you the materials. You want me to prove it to you? Cornelius. Cornelius gave, prayed. Finally, they sent him the material. Called Peter. God didn't just say, okay, he's done so well. Save him. Wah, you are saved. No. An angel can say, oh boy, you don't try. You have to read a book. What's the name of the book? The book is in Joppa. His name is Peter. Let him come and dictate to you. There are many Peters that God has packaged on pieces of paper. You see, Christians walking around with zeal. Hey, giving offering. Praying. You understand? You know, they like title. When you give a man title, pastor, he thinks he's made. I've seen a man fighting over that title, pastor, because he thinks it means anything. Demons don't address you by title. They don't understand title. They will beat a bishop. They don't care. They don't have respect. What they understand is the amount of virtue that's inside your soul, which is delivered by the entrance of his word. Let me raise the shoulder. Raise shoulder for men. Raise shoulder for Satan first. And you beat your head. Your head is that, oh my God. But a little word that God delivers into your soul is automatic resistance to the devil. So, as believers, we watch daily at his doorposts. Because we know there is something we don't know yet, and that is what is hindering us from the next level that God wants us to get into. You can pray from now till tomorrow until that word comes to you. You ain't moving. Sometimes because, you know, Paul said that the word of God is profitable for instruction, for correction. Sometimes when I'm correcting my wife about something, I said, listen, be careful when I'm giving you corrections. This thing that looks small may be the thing that will be the key to the next level you are praying for God to lift you into in life. You can't despise that. You can't. Like I told you, I'm getting practical. Therefore, Christians, you must spend your money buying books. That's why I told my story. Now I can't afford any book. And that's not bragging, for goodness sake, it's not bragging. There's no spiritual book that costs as much as my medical textbooks. One of our specialty books, not a joke. You look at the price of some of these books, each one's $400. They don't sell spiritual books, they're expensive. So if you can buy, and I can afford these things now. But I gave you the story, there was a time I couldn't. What does that tell you? You can't tell me you can't. Don't know where I get my point. Don't let them dash you. Look, it's good if they dash you, amen? But that's not what you are watching out for. It's not. I told you before, sometimes because my wife carries some of our materials, people will buy suits to wear from her, 20,000 naira. They will now say, dash me a book that's 300. Because, you know, she's my wife. So, the spirit of banking dwelleth in Ufoma. You get my point? So, the kind of anger she could take, look the person. If I beat you, your back will not be able to wear that suit. Why are they asking? Because they don't place any value on it. That's what I'm saying. And you as a Christian, listen, you can't afford to walk around in ignorance. You are denying yourself of the power of God. You don't get a wife by praying. You get a wife by hearing a word in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are obstacles for concerning your progress. They are blocking the way. You prayed from now to tomorrow. God said, listen. You can't pray this obstacle away. A day will come, a word will enter into your soul. You'll fly above them. And if you know this, what you do, therefore, you go. Listen, that's why I said that one. Watching daily at my post, not really resting at home, waiting for when Pastor Banky or another one would agree to go on that radio station and bring the word to you. Ask those who work closely with me when it comes to broadcasting. For a long time, I refused to move to another radio station. I said, in Eastern Nigeria, no. I said, next radio station, let's go somewhere else. I said, he said, okay, those around, I said, listen, if they are in Oka, they know where to buy the CDs. Those in the Enugu, they know where to go. If anybody is still growing his heart, you're no longer on radio. He's not serious. He's not serious. He, I told you before, there are those who, when you show, it's like, hey, Two-Face don't come, Two-Face don't arrive. So they are waiting for you to play for them. And not entertaining anybody. Any man who believes that the word contains the life for his soul, he will run and go and get it. Christians put in that effort, not like they are waiting. Listen, there is no problem in life that God has not spoken the word concerning. That's what I'm still saying. But my main preaching in this series is to let you know that you must run and look for that solution that he has written. Every one of his solutions are recorded. They come as words. When you will have prayed and prayed and prayed, what he will give you is a word. We read the parables of Jesus. He said, the kingdom of God is like a merchant who saw a pearl of great price. And for that, to acquire that thing, he sold all that he had. In life, we're talking about precepts. God has principles concerning everything. People say politics is dirty. Let me go to that one briefly. Politics is not dirty. Medical practice is dirty. Driving a taxi is dirty. Marrying a wife is dirty. Selling clothes is dirty. There's nothing that's not dirty if a dirty man does it in a dirty way. You get my point?
Sure.
Nothing like politics is dirty. What we have is ignorance in the Church of Christ. I told you I went to preach some time ago. And I asked a whole congregation of Christians, how many of you believe that the Enugu State Governor is enjoying? And everyone hand went up. Well, maybe not every, at least 90%. So I said, how many want to become governor so they can enjoy? And all those hands went up again. So I said, this is why you will never be a governor. God said to the children of Israel, he said, a time will come when you have to have a king. This is my commandment for kings. That's the precepts of God. He said, he will take a copy of this book and he will make, he said, the scribes will give it to him. They will give him paper and pen. And he will make a personal copy of all the laws that I have given you. And then he will, when he finishes, he will go to the beginning and start reading. And when he finishes reading, he will go back to the beginning and start reading again. And when he finishes reading, he will go back to the beginning and start reading again. And when he finishes reading, he will go back to the beginning and start reading again. And when he finishes reading, he will go back to the beginning and start reading again. He said this he will do all the days of his life. He said he will not multiply wives to himself. He will not multiply houses. He will not multiply vineyards. He will not multiply chariots, personal ones for himself. He said, no. All I have asked him to do is to make a copy of this book and read it from beginning to the end, back to the beginning to the end, back to the beginning, then to the end, back to the beginning, then to the end, all the days of his life. If he will do this, I will establish him as a king. I will make his children kings after him. His kingdom will never end. The degree of failure that every king in Israel, including David and Solomon, experienced was the degree of to which he did not adhere to that simple instruction. David multiplied wives. They were his problem. They were his problem. Solomon amplified the multiplication of wives. And that was the problem of his life. What am I saying? If you want to be a politician as a believer, maybe with this spiritual economic empowerment and development strategy seminar, we should do spiritual political empowerment and development strategy seminar. I should one of these days. Not because of those of you who just come here and listen to it, but so that we can package it in CDs and start sending it to people. You will discover that you don't need the machinations of a political party to be in office. When you follow God's precepts as a politician, a time will come, they will gang up against you and kick you out. I hope you get the point. One of the precepts, all right, of politics for a believer is that we don't cling to office. If they kick us out, we walk out. That is one of the precepts of Christian politics. If they kick you out, you walk out. If they kicked you out unjustly, go and ask those who sent Daniel into the lion's den. What happened to them, their children, their wives, and their property? It still happens. There was a man, like I said to you, I don't know whether he's a believer or not, but just to illustrate, in the university nearby, the man, everybody thought he should be the vice chancellor. That is every reasonable person. Students and staff alike. When they forwarded names to Abuja, they made sure, that's the powers, the Daniel's enemies, made sure that his name was not there. So when they returned the vice chancellor, when they were going to appoint the new vice chancellor, he was not to be appointed at all. Except that those who were scheming, a crisis broke out on campus, and the sitting vice chancellor was indicted as a patron of one of the cults, of which about 4 students were killed during the crisis. So the vice chancellor was dismissed, and all the list they sent to Abuja for his replacement was dismissed. And this man who had gone on leave, everybody shouted, "He's the one we want." They called him. He had to come back from abroad that he had gone to come and take up the seat as the vice chancellor. He never schemed for it. Listen, there are precepts concerning political office for believers. Learn them now that you are young. Learn them now that the only thing you can go for is student union government, association of resident doctors, presidents, you know, those kind of things. Learn them. I am telling you, a day will come, you will be sitting at home, somebody will call you and make you a governor. Somebody will call you and say, "It is you. We are going to produce the president this time. And we have all agreed it's either you or nobody else." You get to that level, eh? You can't, you see, there are things that God must place in your heart first. I'll give you an example. I'm a preacher. There are a lot of precepts concerning preaching that a lot of preachers don't learn. I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago. I said, "I heard they have changed your regional, you know, boss in their denomination. That the new guy is good." A friend of mine tells me that our new pastor is a damn good guy. I told my friend, I said, that former one was a, I said, let me not call a man of God names, but the guy was quite far below the glory. Let me not say more than that. He said it is the people that cost. He said, "What am I talking about?" I said, "That guy, he used to trade the word of God for money." We all know, unless you're not in this town. Every time you see a stranger show up in town, he needs money. I have friends who are members of this church. One day I was at home in the morning, early morning. My phone rang. My colleague called me. He calls me, "Pastor." He said, "Pastor, there's trouble." I said, "What's happened?" He said, "Pastor, there's trouble." "Ah, what is the trouble?" "I'm just coming from church. It was like 7 a.m. He said, "Our pastor said there's a special program. We all came." Then one pastor arrived and said, "There are 50 people that God wants to bless. If you are among, shout amen." Of course, we want to shout amen. Okay, let me say, "There are 25 people God wants to bless. If you are among, shout amen." Yeah. You see, and so everybody shouted amen too. Then the man suddenly turned around. I said, "There are 50 people. Let those 50 people run forward now. 20,000. My friend got up, dragged his wife by the hand. "Let's go home." I walked out of church and called me on the way. I said, "Pastor, there's a problem." So when they removed that pastor, he said, "Praise the Lord." He was very happy. So I was telling this to my colleague. I said, "That your former guy, there was so much not to desire in his manner of ministration. He now said, listen to me, this is where I'm going. He said, no, you don't understand, because he's also a pastor. He says, when the money is not enough, he said, if the people will bring the money, he wouldn't do such things. I said, that is wrong. I said, do you do? He said, no, I don't. I said, why not? He said, I have told them, if we can't do it, we are not going to do it. I said, that is the spirit of a pastor. Simple. I said, that's the spirit. There are things that are precepts concerning ministry. Let me just drop this one. I summarize it. A preacher is not allowed under any circumstance to manipulate people with the word of God. Never. Even if he thinks it is for good, he's not allowed. Paul said, we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty and handling the word of God craftily. All we do is to, by a manifestation of truth, that's what we do. We just present the truth to you. Whatever God does in your life by that truth, that's between you and him. I told my friend, you need money in your church? I said, this is how preachers get money. They go to church, they teach the truth, they go home, they pray. Any money that doesn't come between these two, you don't need it. I always say, as a preacher, the Lord sent you and his spirit. He didn't send you a microphone. He did not send you a television. He did not send you a tape recorder. He didn't send you a camera. Once my sister-in-law asked me, so he said, Pastor Bank, when are you going on TV? I said, my sister, television, not me. It's very effective. I said, I know it's effective. Just I know the cost of camera. I said, listen, this radio we are doing is good. I said, once I grab my 7,000 naira corded Shure microphone, I plug it to our computer at that time, Kingsley, my wife, and one or two other people will sit down, and I will preach for the whole of Eastern Nigeria to just the two or three of them. I preach three, I'm seeing it on the computer like this. I sit down, edit it, burnt on the CD, go to Cosmo FM. I said, that's all my production cost. I said, my sister, I don't price camera. I don't see the price. I know they do it yet. Then the time came. The spirit began to enter into me. Now listen to me. For those of you who were here then, you never heard me raise money for camera. Never. I just mentioned that we are going to buy cameras, we are going to go on TV. I like to say things like that to let people who really want, you know, like God can move you to want to participate. In fact, one sister walked up and said, Pastor, we must buy this camera. She gave me $100. Then came another time, Pastor, we must buy this camera. Give me 18,000 naira. We kept on piling it up. Finally, we bought two cameras for $5,000. You are seeing them here. They said, buy light. Each of these stage lights. Correct one. Each one in Alaba, 300,000. You go to Dubai, 180,000 for one light. I said, watch me. I dragged them. Who was it? Oh, went to Obete Market. Kenyatta. We made each of these lights for 6,000. This one you are saying, 6 grand. Chima came and said, okay, these ones are not enough. We made more until we had flooded this plate with light for less than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, for just about 30K. I know the kind of lights that we should use. Well, bro, I ain't buying until I see the money. I'm trying to teach you the precepts. Ministry has precepts. Ministry has what? Precepts. Everything has precepts. Young men, young women, you learn the precepts of marriage. There's a way God says a man should treat his wife should treat him, and they should run the family. It has nothing to do with how they do it in our place. The precepts you operate by decides the kind of spirit you open the door to. Did you hear what I said? Yes, the precepts you operate by decide the kind of spirit that walks into your home. Because those precepts are the doors you are opening. When you align them with God, then God walks in. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. Then the Father will love him. Then I and the Father will come and make our abode with him. That is, obeying my precepts and my commandments and my testimonies are the things that opens the door so that the Father and I can come into their homes. When you use covetousness as your precept, as a preacher, you open the door. Listen, let me tell you about spirit. Let me just drop that so I can close. The kind of spirits you are opening the door for, you don't know, be careful. Solomon opened the door for wisdom. The spirit of prosperity jumped inside. You don't know what I heard. He opened the door for wisdom. Spirits are funny. They don't move alone. They drag their friends and their brothers. They learn it when they go alone, they get cast out. So when they are coming back, they come with seven more wicked spirits, the evil ones. That's what Jesus said. So, if you are a preacher, you allow the spirit of covetousness and wickedness. All right, you open door for it by aligning yourself with the ways of the world. What will follow? You'll be surprised. Is it, they hear that, hey, you don't hear. Wait, Pastor Banky don't marry second wife. Say, yeah. What happened? You go look my wife with suspicion. You know, this pastor's wives, you can't trust them. She don't frustrate the man. You know, you love me, you want to believe I'm the one that's correct. That's what people do now. Say, his wife. And she'll be smiling for us. What happened? He did the work God did not send him to do. He used the spirit of covetousness to operate. Envy. Have you heard? Emeka used to attend Bible study here. He has now moved to Abapa and built a church. I heard there are now 6,000 in this same Enugu. No, be me, teacher. Israel, come. We need to talk. We'll open a church. We know where it's going to be. Then you start scheming. Then you come, praise the Lord. You don't know. Now, I can open the church. That's not what I'm talking about. You understand? But you don't know why I'm doing it. But God knows. And you know when God wants to punish you, this is what he does. After 1 year, you are 2,000. 6 years later, you are 25,000. You say, I had to show those boys that I was their senior. That's where problems begin. The job the Lord did not send him to. All right? The spirit of competition opened the door for all kinds of evil works to enter. That was why pastor took his second wife. Not because he loved women. It's a spirit. Life is controlled by spirits. So be careful. If you want to run your life according to the precept in our village, this is the way it is. You know that Amadioha, you know that village. Is that not Amadioha they call him? He's waiting for people like you who will use his precepts. So once I get him married, he's dancing there. Go. As a pack box, jump into the portmanteau. And you reach out today there. 2 years later, you don't buy boxing gloves. It's Amadioha. It's Amadioha. It's not you. Satan pushes people. I've told you before. Satan pushed Judas. Why? He was a thief. Any man that uses the precepts of his local godless village to operate marriage, the spirit in the village is leaving his house. Because if a man loves me, he will keep my word. My name is Spirit of Amadioha. And I will love him. And me and my evil spirits will come and live in his corner. Those are spiritual principles. Therefore, anything you want to do, you are first. Listen, I've told you before, that faith is not about, I'll just use Oboju. I use force. See, I will not doubt. Please hold me here so I don't doubt. I'm about to be shifted. Hold me. Hold my chest. My heart will not shake. The blood of Jesus. God don't say the thing that's finished. They don't use and use and use her. This is the point I'm making. It's not about the shout. It's about the precepts. How the man has been living. What words he has been drinking. What has he been imbibing? What are the words that have been pouring spirits into his life? You cannot drink the spirit of the age, the spirit of the world for 15 years. Then in 15 minutes you want to rebuke the devil with a crease. It does not work.
That's what I explained to you before. Those who were healed by Jesus were baptized by John the Baptist. Yes, that's what he did. You have to live a life of baptism by John if you want the miracle of Jesus Christ. That's the way it works. And listen, he said, come to me, you children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? David was telling us it doesn't come naturally. You must get up and come. Before you enter into business, listen to our CD, Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy Seminar. You should listen to it. A man came to me, a young man, a few days ago. He said, sir, I saw your car outside. I knew you must be in the office. You were my lecturer at University of Nigeria. That's it, Nnamdi Azikiwe University. I said, okay, what can I do for you? He said, I need to hear your words on how I should manage my money. I've just started earning money. We didn't have too much time to talk. I gave him some tips. So you should try and get some CDs. But listen, if that man obeys the word, he will be very, very rich in life. Why do I say so? Because he saw my car, came to look for me, said, sir, I saw you were around. I need you to tell me what a young man is supposed to do with money. When he said that, he meant instruction with the word of God. Those are the things you can't, you know, it's not as if I say you shouldn't give offering. You know, how can I say like that? Wait. I've just said that you can't use that to make up for disobedience. That's what I've just been saying. You've been disobeying God all your life. One day, all of a sudden, you want to take one offering and just break the back of poverty. That kind of shot the miss. Now your back is the meat. No. You can't align your life, all your life, you understand my point, with the precepts of the world. And then you one day want to claim the prosperity of God. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. Like I said, David said, come you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of God. Like that young man, you will first get up and say, what does God have to say about how I manage money? And you start it now. It's not when you're applying to be rich. You can never live the things you know you are supposed to do till the time you are rich. It doesn't work. He that is faithful in little is the one that has the opportunity to have much and therefore be faithful in much. You learn it now. I was joking with my class captain. One of my, we have male class captain and female. The male guy, yesterday I was in class. So I was leaving the class. So I came with two bags, all right? So he carried one bag, and the smaller bag, the lady reached for it. I told her, leave it. Let him carry it. I told him, I said, before she carries anything, your right hand must be full, your left hand must be full, and your shoulders must be full. I said, that's the only way you marry a good wife. He's a young fourth-year medical student. But I said, this is how you prepare to marry a good wife. Learn how to take care of young women. You can't be sharing load with her. What's wrong with you? Carry the two. Let us stroll behind you. I said, this time I see you on the road. And you are carrying one bag, and the lady walking with you is carrying another bag. I'm coming down to fight you. You must carry the two bags. That's how we know. You won't marry her, don't worry. You are sowing a seed for the one you will marry. Are you following what I'm saying? Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will. That's what David was saying. But my emphasis in my own teaching is, you have to come and listen. He said, watch your steps when you draw near the temple of God. Draw near to listen. That's what he said, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools. Listen, most people, that's what they are doing, claiming they are working for God. In fact, Israel insisted here and Bishop that starting our broadcast on DSTV, Kingdom Africa, that we had to put out to work for God. Because they felt too many people are wrongfully working for God. A lot of people are laboring wrongly for God because they did not draw near to first listen. My emphasis, like I said,
is that drawing in, that struggle to listen. It's a labor to enter into his rest. It's an effort. It will cost you money. Though I said to you, I can afford a lot of books, even if you can't, you little you have, you use it. There's no, you know, something used to make me laugh. I will talk to people here. I say, they say, hey, Pastor, I want to talk to you. They will say, have you read Choices, Key to Destiny? Say, no. You know, in my mind, in case you have ever been like that, I was flogging you inside, you did not know. I had removed my belt, your back was bare, and I was peeling it like, you know, Mel Gibson peeled the back of Jesus Christ. I was peeling it. Because I can't believe you've listened to me for 3 weeks and you haven't read the book. Now, how much more? 1 year. You pass by it every day. You dey chop meat pie periodically. Etisalat gives you free call to call your boyfriend and girlfriend because you spend 200 naira a week. Am I lying? Yeah, the book is only 180 naira. You never read them. Let's summarize it for you. You need deliverance. If you've been here, if you heard me talk. And I told you, there was this book, Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. It changed my life. You never read that. Let me tell you how they do such things. You went there. It's expensive. You're a student. You don't have too much money. So look for two students like yourself. Say, oh boy, this book, we're supposed to buy them. Say, yes, we're supposed to buy. How much you get? 100 bucks. Okay, add 100. How much? 200. How much is the book? 350. Okay, will they come? Deposit it. Say, please write it down. We'll come back. And when you finish... When you finish collecting the book, you go and read it. Then you'll be taking turns. Join, form a club amongst yourself, buy one book every week and taking turns. And if photocopying is cheap enough, make a photocopy. If Ken Hagin is angry with you, tell him to go and see me. If you want to respect copyright when it comes to non-word things. If you copy the word of God, it's the will of God. Don't copy movies. I didn't say you copy movies. That's it, so. Don't copy music, P Square. Even if it's praise worship, don't copy. All right? Mm-hmm. But once it's book, tape, preaching, copy it in front of the preacher that preached it. Tell him, say, sir, this is your book. It's so powerful. My God, it's turned my life around. In fact, we just finished making 5 photocopies, my friend and I. If you say you didn't pay for it, he says, sir, this is all we can afford. We use the money to buy other books. Some of them are yours also. He says, sir, don't worry, we'll pay later. When we have broken through, we'll come and pay. Which one do you want? The 100 naira for the book or the 1 million we'll give you as pocket change in another 15 years? Which one? Choose one. I've told all of you that I've been reading my book free of charge. You buy a CD for 180 and you were blessed. I'm patient. Amen? I'm very patient. I've told you. Let me tell you the word of the Lord. One day I will sit down. I'll tell the Lord, this weekend is my offering weekend. In the realm of the spirit, I will call all of you. You won't know why you can't sleep again. You will wake up in the morning and say, I must bless Pastor Banky. You will come out, you look at your wife and say, honey, we have to bless Pastor Banky. And she will say, okay, what more do you have in the account? Say, all we can put together now is 2.5. 2.5 million for Pastor Banky, that's an insult. So bring your gold, all the one I bought for in the last 6 years. Go and bring it. Bring it. Now your cash, last week they brought it. You like it. Bring it. You won't know. I'm at home calling you. You don't realize it. I know what I'm telling you. And when you arrive, when you see, 4 cars will have reached there before yours. After a while, I said, sir, where do we park this? I said, you came late. Park outside. So read the books cheap now, amen? Amen. Listen to the messages for free. Download it. I'm patient. It's an investment. you are a promising company. Do you hear what I said? I'm buying my shares early. You are a promising company. Listen to me. A time will come within the space of 24 months. Not me personally, but Kingdom World Ministries will receive 12 offerings of 1 billion naira each. Amen. And you will give one of them.
Amen.
Yes. So tell any preacher you want to copy his book. Say, Pastor Banky said, I can pay you now, I pay you later. Which one do you choose? But spend that money and spend that time. It's good to watch football once in a while. When you are finished listening to 3 messages, reading 1 book, watch 1 match. Yes. As you are doing that, the power to triumph is entering into you. You won't know why you are just not catching the diseases. There is, I rebuke you, Satan. There is one in which Satan says his, the hedge around him is dangerous. Don't go near. Both of them, you know, they are the will of God, but one is more perfect, a will, than the other. I hope you've gotten my point. I said, I hope you have gotten my point. The word of God must be pleasant. That's the most important. In fact, you must have a budget. Every month, I go and buy a book. I must buy a tape. You hear me quote people. Listen to them 4 or 5 times before you decide whether they are your teachers or they are not. My personal experience is that you have about, at each time, you have between 3 and 6 people that are your teachers. Yeah, generally, at each time. You can listen to 10, 20 people, but there are 3 to 6 people that, these are my teachers. When you locate them, spend the money. When you hear that they are in town doing seminar, cancel everything, go there. Your fiancé is coming to town and say, if I marry you and we box, or I go now, I don't see you. The one who marry, we are joyful. Which one do you prefer? He or she will agree quickly for the other one. I know it's not everywhere you can go, but God will help you locate your own teachers. And once you find them, don't spare expense. Buy the books, buy the CDs. It's for your life. I hope you've gotten my point today.